This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
It's Wednesday, March 2nd, and this is episode 225 of the Down to Dunk Podcast. I'm Luke, joined today by Taylor, Jay, and Andrew.
Hey, yeah, guys.
Yo.
Me and Drew.
I'm Taylor, and I'm here to say...
No.
I don't do that.
Please stay. Don't be here to say anything, Tayshawn.
All right, guys. We play the Warriors tomorrow. We play the Clippers tonight.
The Clippers.
And we played the Warriors last Saturday. Let's talk about it.
So, since...
What about the Kings?
We've potted twice.
We didn't play the Kings.
I don't want to mess up his last name. Jonathan Charks.
Charks.
He was on, I guess, what was that, Monday?
Monday.
And so go back and listen to that one if you haven't listened to it yet. But since they had Ham on, I was out of town last Friday. They only played two games. They played the Warriors on Saturday, which we'll spend probably most of this pod talking about. And then they played the Kings on Monday. And so I'm going to kind of do that in backwards order because the Golden State will take all of our time. The Kings game was maybe the best game that the bench had played.
Yeah.
All season. There's not a maybe in that. They played incredible in that game. Deion Waiters especially. Shout out Deion.
Yep.
Played incredibly well. Kyle Singler had a great game. Enes Kanter hasn't missed a shot since the Pelicans game.
Which is
nuts.
Crazy.
Say what?
A little pre.
Anyway, even Mitch McGarry got him in it. 2 minutes. But anyway, so Kanter was 11 of 11, ended up with 23 points, plus 14. Singler was 4 of 6, 3 of 5 from the three-point line with 11 points. And Deion was 8 of 11 for 22 points with a plus 30, plus or minus. So that was Deion's game, and we appreciated it. But anything from that game you want to talk about other than the fact that Cousins is just a machine?
And he like almost uppercutted...
Is also a psycho.
Steven Adams.
So close.
He was like,
so close.
He was like 50-50 on that uppercut to him.
He was going to hit him in the back of the head. Like, he might have killed Steven Adams with that fist.
Nothing would have happened. Steven, he would just look right back.
You know what happened? Marcus's fist would have just shattered.
It would. That would have been awesome. His hand would have just shattered on the court.
Something tickled.
That's a great impression.
You lived in New Zealand, and that was your impersonation?
Yeah.
You know what his secret is?
That was good. Thanks.
Lemons. The dude, one of my friends saw him at Whole Foods, and the dude bought just way too many lemons.
So, for real?
He's just drinking Boulevard Wheats, man. Just on the rag.
How do you know, with lemon prices fluctuating so much, how do you know he's not buying lemons to flip them later on?
Ooh, that's a good call.
Flip or flop, lemon edition.
I think Steve Adams is flipping lemons for side cash.
Anything else stick out to you?
What are we talking about?
Talk about Steven flipping lemons.
I don't know. I mean the Kings are just so bad defensively.
Like, he's probably buying so many lemons to throw a lemon party.
Probably. The Kings are so bad on defense that really Thunder, when they get into their set, they're executing it like to perfection because they're not being forced to do anything that they don't want to do. Like, they get every shot they wanted, and they actually hit their shots, the bench hit their shots. So that was nice to see. Hopefully that happens again tomorrow.
That was the only thing I wanted to say really about it, is the fact that, like, they get those shots a lot of times normally. The difference was they actually made them. Like, it wasn't like Sacramento's defense is not good, and I'm not trying to say that, but Kyle Singler has had open three-pointers numerous times this year, and he doesn't always make them. Deion Waiters was still shooting really awful shots, but just making them, right? You know, so it's like everything was happening that normally wouldn't. And so it was an encouraging, and for me, the biggest encouragement from was the fact that, like, and I was just joking when I said this probably, but like, I'm not sure I'd want to play the rest of the season after that Golden State loss. Like, it was such a brutal, I know they're NBA players and they have to continue playing, but there would be some sort of natural letdown, I would have thought, to come out against the Kings, especially sandwiched between the back-to-back that they play tonight and tomorrow with the Clippers and the Warriors tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think it's an easy letdown game, and they played really, really well, I thought.
I think you take it one way or the other. You take it as, like, this is the team that everyone talks about as being the historically great team. They're going to probably win 75 games. They're ridiculous. They're so good. And we can go toe-to-toe with them.
They've done it twice.
So you can take it that way, or you can take it as, wow, we just blew that game.
Like, Which we did.
We should have won that game. We blew it. We, you know, we suck. Whatever. But I don't know. I just don't. I think the Thunder, the Warriors are pushing the Thunder to be better. They just have to be better. And I don't know that, you know, if the Thunder didn't have a team like this to play, like if they could, I think this team is going to reach their peak this year. I think in the playoffs they're going to reach the peak of like what this team can accomplish, and it may not be them beating the Warriors, but I think that they're going to push this team to be better and better, because I think that's what Durant and Russ want, and they're going to will this team to be really good, despite like just these small mental errors at the end where, you know, it easily the game could have been the Thunder's had they called the timeout. Like, yes, we know this. Like, Billy Donovan should have run out of the court and called timeout whenever he saw Durant was trapped and they weren't fouling. But, like, credit to the Warriors. Like, a lot of times teams just foul in the situations. Like, that's what they do. But they, like, bodied him up, didn't foul, and it worked. And they made some spectacular plays.
Yeah.
Like, just to get Andre Iguodala the ball. Like, yeah. There were some spectacular plays.
Yeah, that was such a frantic series of plays. Like, Klay Thompson steals it flying across the court, then throws it. I don't know who he threw it to first, maybe Sean Livingston or whatever. And then they throw it to Iggy, which is not obviously who they would have planned to throw it to.
Right. No, you're not throwing it to the 60% free throw right? shooter.
Yeah.
And then he made them both.
Yeah, which, you know, I said this, and y'all ignored it because you know that I'm a psychopath most of the time. But I didn't get to see the, and I'll talk about this in my MFTP. I didn't get to watch the game. I had to follow it on my sports tracker on my like Yahoo Sports app, which is maybe the worst game to ever do that with. And so I didn't get to see the foul until I rewatched it later, which of course I picked that play to rewatch and relive. But man, I don't know how you call in such a bang bang play to call that foul. With no time on the clock, right? Like, really, like 0.4 seconds by the time it fouls him. It just doesn't make any sense to me to call that. But, and that's obviously on my side of it. I'd be pissed off if I was a Warrior fan. I didn't get the call.
It felt like the whole, like, last part was just everybody on their instinct, including the referees. Like, they saw a foul, they called a foul.
Yeah, and I'll give you that. I think that's a valid, I mean, that's a great statement, actually, yeah.
I kind of thought, too, there weren't other players around. I mean, it was kind of, like, spotlighted on Iguodala and Kevin Durant. And everyone was looking at it. There's no, like...
He touched him.
Yeah.
Most of the time, that's not going to be called, because most of the time, it's not a frantic, just, you know, the ball's being thrown around. Who ended up with the ball? Oh, my gosh, like, what are we going to do here? It's usually, like, with 3 seconds left, there's a timeout called, they're going to bring the ball off the floor, and whoever's going to get a shot is going to get a shot.
Yeah, right? and the defense is more ready. The refs are ready.
The referees know I'm not going to call anything unless they just demolish them. And that particular foul probably would not be called 30% of the time at the end of games. And it just happened to be called. And, you know, I mean, give credit to Andre Iguodala for hitting both shots.
Like, hit both.
That was unbelievable.
That was really, really big.
There were times in the NBA Finals last year where they intentionally fouled Iguodala.
Right.
Like Haka Iggy, you know?
Yeah.
And he stepped up and hit two huge free throws.
Yeah. I hate saying and hearing Haka Iggy.
I know. I don't like the Haka anything, but
Haka Iggy.
So what else from that game? I know we do have some Twitter questions about that, so we'll get to talk about that. Anything else?
Well, what was your reaction when the step shot went in?
Well, I didn't. I reacted before it went in. I just yelled no as loud as I could into a pillow.
When he was shooting it?
Yes, because I knew. I mean, you just knew it was going in. Me and Enes Kanter, we knew it was going in.
Yeah. What'd you do?
I don't remember.
You blacked out. Yeah. You blacked out from this.
That was in like, I was just sad.
Wow. I was next to Bryce, and he shot it, and it went in, and I immediately turned to him, and I said, go. I said, we got to go. I didn't watch the very end of the game. I walked out.
You didn't see the shot?
No, I saw the Steph shot. I didn't watch to see if the Thunder could.
Oh yeah, make yeah, yeah, yeah.
It. Said go. It's time to go. Oh, right, I watched. Now. Pushed him out.
Yeah.
What's crazy is on both of their less than a second shots between Russ and Kevin Durant, they both hit. Like the Durant one, I was like, oh, maybe. That almost went in.
Yeah.
They both hit the front of the rim. They both shot from almost the same area, too. But, you know, I followed it on Game Tracker. And so here is the funny experience about though is like, so I'm flying and I'm just getting my miff to peeve. Like, how do we not have Wi-Fi that's, and I know this is, if you've ever seen the Louis C.K. bit about flying or you complain about the Wi-Fi when you're flying through the air, yeah. You know, like magical. But if you have Wi-Fi, just get Wi-Fi that can stream. Like, people in any house in America has better Wi-Fi than airline companies anyway. So I'm sure there's some sort of reason why. But you you can't stream it, right? And so I'm trying to like have my – I mean, I knew that. I knew going into it. And so I'm like following it and I'm like – and the internet's so bad that it just updates like every 15 seconds. And so I pull down to try to refresh it and it's like – 15 seconds. And then if they take timeouts, I'm like, is this the longest timeout of all time?
I don't know what's worse, actually watching it and watching everything unfold in real time or just finding out.
And then what also happens is the score will change and the play won't update.
It won't tell you what happened.
No. So you're like, what's going on? So, you know, and so what I do instead of that is I get on Twitter, which updates quicker. I don't know why, you know, whatever. And so it updates Twitter and it's just like, 100 straight tweets that are just like, oh my God, Curry!
No one actually saying what happened. Like, everyone's just like,
it is.
Oh my God. Yeah. Wow. So you're like, amazing.
Did he fall into the floor? Yeah. Like, what? Did the earth split open and he disappeared? You know, I don't know. Anyway, so, and then of course, like, and that's happening as I'm landing. Like, I flew over the Chesapeake Arena when Dion missed the shot, right? Right before, which is surprising. But and then I'm landing, and as soon as I land, like, the whole plane's like, what happened? And I'm telling my buddy I flew with, I'm just like, they lost by 3. Durant gave the ball up, and I don't know. And then I looked at the shot. I was like, you all have to rewatch that shot.
It's ridiculous. And what kind of happened in the overtime and in the like the last 4 minutes of the game like really shows you like kind of what they want to do with Dion Waiters, and it's really not a whole lot because he did not like get the ball for a shot in the last like 4 minutes or in overtime without it being like a complete accident. Like that shot that he missed was like he almost ended up with it accidentally, and it's just. It's just interesting to see that. They basically, it's just KD, Russ, and Serge. And like that's the only people they want to shoot the ball unless you're wide open under the bucket.
So I didn't get, obviously, once again, I didn't get to watch the game. So the overtime, also to finish that, I also came home and had it on my DVR and didn't. I was so beat up just by following it on Twitter that I just deleted it. So the overtime, what was strange to me, so Kevin Durant fouls out in the first 10 seconds of the overtime, right? Yeah. So at that point, you're like, guys, it's going to be a 15-point loss by the end of this thing.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening, like Russ, from what I could see in the small parts that's on highlights, Russ kind of played basketball and didn't go hero mode. Andre Robertson scored 4 points in overtime. But it's one of those things where they actually...
It was a miracle that they scored the basketball. It was an absolute miracle because they're running like they're basically trying to get Curry switched on to Westbrook, and they did it over and over and over again, and they're switching with Andre Robertson, and he had to like turn into his power forward, his pick and roll partner, so they could get Curry onto Westbrook, and they kept
Robertson open.
Well, the problem is, you get the Klay Thompson. You're basically trying to switch Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, but what they ended up getting over and over again was both.
Yeah,
like now we both get to defend you. Awesome.
They
because Andre Robertson's setting the pick. Sweet,
but it worked.
But Robertson ended up rolling to the basket and he made one, and then ended up getting the offensive rebound for one and putting it. I mean, it was fine. And it was miraculous that I just give credit to Russell Westbrook, because if you told me that in the Warriors game that Russell Westbrook and Andre Robertson run a pick and roll and they actually score, like that that's a miracle.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't even, I don't even understand it. It's a miracle.
Miracles happen.
So what's your, so looking at the fact that they don't get much, they don't get much time in between those two turnarounds. They play the Warriors tomorrow night.
Yeah.
What adjustments are you hoping to see from the Thunder? Like, is there anything you're really like, don't do stupid stuff? Like, Russell Westbrook was great in parts of it, had a horrible shooting night.
Yeah, he didn't shoot the ball well. I've there's been people trashing on Russ. Like, I'm just like, that dude, like, willed that team in overtime.
Anybody that trashes Russ doesn't watch.
Like, they had, like, the floor was gone. It was shrunk. There was just nothing there. He had no space. He had to get through literally everybody on the court to get to the basket. And he did it. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm, like, Russell was.
And the Warriors are still a good defensive team.
He was unbelievable. They're incredible. And the Thunder were so good defensively. Like, the thing is, like, their defensive scheme on the Warriors is nearly perfect. But the problem is that a good offense will beat a good defense.
And not even a good, like, it's beyond good offense. When a dude goes 12 of 16 from the 3-point line, it's nuclear. Like, it's gone beyond offense.
Yeah. And the one play that really sticks out in my mind is there was this, like, high screen and roll for Curry at the top of the key. And Steven Adams switches, gets right out on him. Maybe he had like 2 inches, maybe. And he just switched it right over him.
And
like,
that's because you're playing the best shooter of all time.
Guys just don't do that. Like, no one takes that shot, first of all. And no one else makes it.
I did notice that, Clay had 32 points.
Yeah.
But 2-9 from the 3-point line, which is where you get some solace.
Right. He had to, we forced him to take a lot of deep twos. He was not getting the shots he wanted most of the game.
Yeah.
And he was just making these unbelievable jump shots.
He was. And the one thing that they need to stop doing is the cheap fouls at the bucket whenever, like, when Klay Thompson, like, clearly had, had a layup. Like, give the Warriors 2 points and don't give them the opportunity for three. Because both Curry and Thompson are incredible at finishing with contact.
Like, that one on Russ at the end was a frustration foul, where you've got to be better, right?
Yeah. Like,
that's where you got to have more kind of poise. And they do most of the time. It was a freak thing because that game was so emotional. But somebody missed on the rotation. Singler, I think it was.
Yeah.
Missed on the rotation.
They're up three.
I know. Yeah, you're still up by one. So at that point, the pressure to get the shot changes. You know,
you've got to just let him have it. And the Warriors did it to Russ at the very first play in overtime, where Russ was just going to get to the rim, and Draymond Green slapped him on the chest, and he ended up getting an and one. But like, the Thunder just can't do those little things. The next thing you need to do: make your free throws.
Oh yeah,
you make the average amount of free throws that you make throughout the season. There's no overtime. They win the game.
17 and 26. They shot 65%.
They were horrible.
Yeah.
They were so bad. And at one point, it was like 50% or under, like at a significant point in the game. Like, you just can't, like, this team can't do that. They've also got to watch their turnovers. And with a game that's so up and down, you have all these disruptive defenders out there, like, there's going to be more turnovers. Like, don't totally freak out about the turnovers. But there were several that
unnecessary
can be cleaned up. So,
man, Steven Adams was 2 of 6 in the free throw line. I know he's not great, but he's better than 2 of 6 in the three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for a guy like him, he has to make his free throws in a game like that to keep him kind of on the court, in my opinion. Steven Adams, I think, is turning into a really unathletic but really good. No.
he's so unathletic.
No, but I just am really pleased with the fact that Bogut was a minus 19 in that game.
Man,
I don't know what that says as far as, you know, like, but the Thunder's still rolling out centers. Like, is it unnecessary? They went to the death lineup and made up all that ground and just kind of, and it didn't feel like Donovan adjusted, which is maybe something, like, if I was going to say something that I would try to look at is, like, how quick can you go small? Like, are we being stubborn and trying to force our will with bigs on the court?
I don't know. I mean, like, he went small. Like, I'm just not, like, Scott Brooks
still maybe have
Scott
the small
Brooks wouldn't have gone small, probably.
Right.
Like, I just think, like, hey, let's, like, if we can keep our best players out on the court, let's try to do that.
Yeah.
But if we can't, like, if we can't keep Adams out there, then we're going to have to go for some of our lesser players. Like, honestly, like, if I'd rather have the fourth best player out there if possible, rather than just immediately switch and, you know, concede that we can't do it. I think Adams will eventually, maybe down the road, and Jonathan Charkson talked about that, like down the road, like Adams may be able to play with the Warriors or something like that whenever they figure out a better scheme. But he's not there yet. He's still so young. Like, he's still super young. He's 22 years old. So I just don't – I don't know. I think that you just have to at least try to get your best players out on the floor. And if it doesn't work, then – you can bring in Kyle Singler.
Yeah, I know.
Do whatever.
There was even a lineup where Steve and Ennis were on the floor together. And before you play the Warriors, we would say, like, you can't play Steve and Ennis together. You have to have a big that can stretch the floor, blah, blah, blah. But they played together, and they played really well. I mean, that worked for a stretch of time. And for whatever reason, our bigs can just play with this Warriors team until they go to the death lineup, and then we can adjust. But
they've done it. The one thing that's crazy, and I know it's because I don't know enough about Draymond Green, you know, like what he brings to the floor, but they seem to kind of take him, at least offensively, out of the game. I know he ended up still having, what, 14? Was it 14 assists or 14 rebounds? I just got away from the box score for that game.
But I think rebounds.
Yeah, he had 14 rebounds. He played really well in the second half after he blew up, I guess, and got in Steve Kerr's face. And Stephen A. Smith talked about that yesterday. Did y'all hear any more details about what happened in the locker room?
He just basically went ballistic and was upset about his shots, I guess. But ultimately, like, he apologized for it. I don't think it really matters.
So what Stephen A. Smith said, just for anybody.
He had 14 rebounds and 14 assists.
Yeah, so he...
Six steals, four blocks.
Just an unbelievable stat line without scoring a single point, or without making a single field goal.
Field goal, yeah.
Two free throws. But so what he said is that he came into halftime and Steve Kerr, like the first clip he showed on the video, like, hey, here's the ways we need to improve second half, was Draymond getting beat on defense. And so he lost his mind because I'm like, he felt like he was the only one out there giving any effort, doing the things he's supposed to do. And to, you know, for him to play the first clip of Draymond screwing up, like, Draymond lost his mind, got in Steve Kerr's face, like, had to get set down, and then apologize. I mean, and I'm just saying, I'm not saying that, like, I can't believe, maybe there's discord, you know, I'm not saying that. I think that's part of basketball, but it just shows you, Draymond's just the guy you want, man. Well, I would love to have that dude on my team.
And he was heated going into halftime, because Durant was talking smack to him, heading into the locker room.
Yeah.
And you could tell, like, Durant was just talking at him, and you could tell that Draymond, like, he didn't really respond to him, but you could tell that he was, like, heated already.
But you remember Draymond said earlier season, who's the worst trash talker? And he said that Kevin Durant's one of them because he just, like, makes you just feel horrible about your basketball game.
Well, I guess that's what happened prior to going into the locker room.
I forgot about that. Do you remember that earlier this season?
I do now. And then he came out and airballed a free throw, and the Thunder bench got up and was laughing at Draymond Green in front of him, like, pointing at him. And yeah, it was really funny. Guys, Draymond took a lot of crap.
Let's move into some tiki's. What do you guys
think? Ready?
You guys think about that?
I'm kind of like talking about Draymond.
Well, yeah, let's do some TQ. So the Thunder have a big week coming up, just real quick before we move on to that. So they play the Clippers tonight, the Warriors tomorrow night. Then they come back against the Bucks on Sunday afternoon. Then they play the Clippers again at home on Wednesday next week. And then they play Minnesota. That'll be next Friday, so we'll pod before then. But two games against the Clippers, one against the Warriors, and that Bucks one kind of sandwiched in between. So it'll be a fun week of basketball for Oklahoma City.
Oh, this is terrible. We have a back-to-back, both late nights, with Clippers and Warriors? Yeah.
That's why we're potting on a Wednesday, by the way. We're potting on a Wednesday because we didn't figure after a Golden State-Oklahoma City game that we'd be too excited to get up at 5 in the morning on Friday.
That's true.
Twitter questions!
All right, our first Twitter question comes from @TheCaden, who says he still gets sick to his stomach when he sees highlights of Saturday's game. What should he do to heal himself from this misery?
You can go and watch the replay of the Spurs-Warriors game.
Or the Cavs-Warriors game.
And then realize that, wow, like the only contender that's actually played with them is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Hey, take a couple of those.
Yeah.
Come back and see us.
Hey, that's a good answer. That's what I would do.
I think, in another way, is I think to see how they perform on Thursday, and now you're looking at the fact that Steph Curry, Andre Iguodala did not play last night. Iggy's dealing with the hamstrings. Steph Curry's dealing with that ankle that he rolled, which Andrew's brought up in the pod on Monday, but he also has talked about it in some of our texts. Like, these things can linger, and you can play through them in the game,
right?
But they'll swell up afterwards, in and so moment. Who knows? Like, he didn't even really come out. From my understanding, is he didn't really even come out for shoot around yesterday because it's that bad. And so there's a question mark on whether or not they'll play. But if Oklahoma City comes out and at least does it again, or gets close, or plays them well, then or beats them, which would break their home record.
Yeah.
All of these things that would be part of that. Obviously, that would be a huge way to get rid of that misery as well.
That would be big time.
Pretty unlikely, but huge. And, unless they're hurt.
Taylor. I don't know. I would just take solace in the fact that the Thunder, like, this Thunder team is not scared of the Warriors.
No.
Like, they can go toe-to-toe with them. They haven't beat them yet, but they can go toe-to-toe with them, and no one else has been able to say that yet. So I just think that the Thunder have a real shot. Like, this team has a real shot to do it this year, even though nobody's really giving them a chance at all. Like, they have a shot to do it this year. Is it a great percentage? Probably not. But
is it the best one out of anybody else in the league?
They have the best chance. Yeah, they do. Everybody's been talking about the Spurs all year and how that they really need to see a Golden State Spurs series. But, like, man, I think that they could clobber the Spurs.
I don't think the Spurs can defend them.
Clobber time.
They don't have the energy. They don't have the athleticism to defend them.
Yeah, I want to see them play again.
Yeah.
But
I just am thinking about, like, they're adding pieces that are just older and slower. Like Andre Miller and the rumors now Kevin Martin. And
yeah, that's all we need.
Andre Miller and Kevin Martin.
So, anyway.
We need guys who couldn't even play for the Timberwolves. Let's go.
Right? Yeah.
We're ready now.
Of course,
now.
They'll come back and have, like, these... You know,
well, and the Spurs are a good defensive team.
They are. But I just think it's a bad matchup for them. You have Kawhi, Danny Green, and you have Tim Duncan, hopefully to do something to where you can kind of mess up the lane.
It's the same reason they have issues with Oklahoma City. Yeah. It's just young talent,
athleticism.
Yeah,
but they're incredibly well coached. They're going to play way better the next time they play.
They will. They'll make adjustments. But yeah, I just the Thunder have a real shot. And you get in a 7-game series with them. I mean, I think if Curry rolls his ankle in the Western Conference Finals against the Thunder, they could go to the finals, you know?
And then get swept by the Cavs.
Because they can't beat anyone in the East.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
That's the weirdest part of this Thunder season.
By far. Well, Kyle Singler's hair.
It's way weirder.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @JDSilva_, who wants to know, any chance the Warriors fizzle out in the playoffs? I can dream. Maybe it will be like the Steve Nash Suns or the 06-07 Mavs.
So I want to remind people that the Steve Nash Suns, they would have been in the finals had that huge brawl that Robert Horry started not happened. Yeah. In my opinion, watching that series. Well,
and also had the rules not been so, so stupid.
Yeah, because Amari Stoudemire got suspended, Boris Diaw.
Because they, like, barely stepped off the bench. Like, they didn't even run onto the court. Like, I distinctly remember those replays in my head and just, like, I cannot believe they're not letting them
unbelievable.
Play.
Like, you talk about how the ref shouldn't have called that foul on Iggy, you know? It's like, no, that's a real problem right there. How do you make that such call a bad to rule. Suspend them?
Yeah. So I think that the only way the Warriors fizzle out, which I know he's just saying I can dream, but there has to be some sort of injury they deal with.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, is Curry going to go Nova every night against the Thunder? Like, that's what it took to beat the Thunder.
You're right.
On Saturday, it was like Curry just turned into just this magical creature that just hits everything.
But this time, not in the game before, and probably not in a 7-game series. Like, he doesn't have to play like that every game,
man.
If I don't know, I mean, like, the Thunder, there were a lot of ways that the Thunder could have played better,
for sure.
So I don't know. Is Curry going to be able to do that 4 times? Like, maybe.
But for me, to fizzle out still means, like, fizzling out means they may lose in the second round to the Clippers. You know, like, that's fizzling out. If they lose in a really contested 7-game series against the Thunder or the Spurs, or lose in the finals, like, that's not fizzling out.
Yeah.
It would still be surprising because they're going to break the record for the best record of all time.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to be 75-8 or 7 or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is dumb.
That's crazy.
But I don't see them fizzling out. I see them running the table. I think the Thunder will give them the best series if they can meet in the Western Conference Finals.
I think they win it all.
It'd be hard for me not to think they're going to win the whole thing.
And they've already won it all. Like that's the difference between like those Mavs teams and the Suns.
They've done it before and didn't fizzle out.
Yeah.
Although they didn't play super well in the playoffs, but they got that one out last year.
Who?
The Warriors.
Oh.
Like I know they ran through some teams, but like the Doc Rivers thing had some validity. Even though he can't say it out of his team because his team lost to the Rockets after being up 3-1. But
yeah.
Anyway, so
we'll see.
All right, let's move on.
Andrew's got some faith, man. I feel it. Andrew's more hyped about the Thunder today than he's been probably at any other point of the season.
I am, man.
I feel you.
I believe in this team.
It's like I kind of see like
I believe
15% delusion though, a little bit, because you're a fan.
How?
I don't know. I just see it a little bit. I'm
Taylor's
serious.
Taylor's a Warriors homer.
How? What's to keep me from not being so positive about this team?
I think you should be very positive about the team, but I just don't believe in them as much as you.
Why?
That's all I'm saying.
You have freaking Kevin Durant.
That's I love it. I think they have a chance. I just don't think they can beat him 4 times out of 7 is all I keep going to. And that, I don't know. That's fine.
Taylor, shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up, Taylor.
I don't know. I haven't seen anything to make... I know they haven't won, but I haven't seen anything to make me believe that they can't hang with them in every game and be in every game. And then when you have Kevin Durant, like if he doesn't freaking foul out of the game, like you have a shot to win every single game. And that kind of brings up a point about the fouls. Do you think that they should add an extra foul to everybody in overtime?
Absolutely.
They should.
Like, why not? They give you timeouts in overtime. Just give one more foul.
Yeah, and that's like the worst thing you should be giving extra to a team is timeouts.
How about the fact that they scored 18 and 15 points in overtime? I've seen overtimes where in 5 minutes they score like 8 total points between the two teams, right. You know? Maybe I'm just watching too much college basketball because that's a terrible, terrible sport right now.
It's like 40-35 going into overtime.
And it ends up 42-36.
Sucks.
Sorry.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question because I will not talk about college basketball.
It's a great decision.
Okay, at @ClintSmith_5 wants to know, would Darrell Wright be a better option than the Thunder currently have?
So the rumor is, he finishes season in China, which is always a great way to start a roster addition. He finished a season in China. There's some possible options for him to sign with, and they're talking about the Cavs, you know, the usual suspects. Darrell Wright, if you don't remember him, there's a lot of reasons why. He got signed with Portland, and Oklahoma City was pursuing him really hard that season. And he chose Portland over Oklahoma City. Didn't really find a spot on that team for 2 years or 3 years. Ended up moving over to China last year. And the conversations, again, the Thunder have an open roster spot. They need a 3D wing. Would Darrell Wright be a better option?
Yeah. My answer is I have no freaking idea because I don't know if Darrell Wright's any good anymore.
How long has it been since we've watched him play? Two years?
He's in the league last year, right?
Yeah, he's in the league last year. But he's been in China. Like, that's not so great for you. Like, who's the last player to go to China and then come back and be good? That didn't involve the lockout season, because I know like Wilson Chandler went to China, J.R. Smith went to China, but that was during the lockout season, and they went there to make some money. Like Darrell Wright went there because, it could be for a lot of reasons. It could be that one, that he didn't get an offer from a contender, and he knows
he didn't
want
to go play.
He's not going to go play for the Nets or somebody like that. Like he wanted to come back and be able to choose the team that he wanted to play for. And that, I mean, I think that makes some sense if he's still good. Or it could be that like he got no real NBA offer that was going to help him financially and China gave him one. So,
but heck, and I jokingly text this out, but like how many options do you get at the wing position before one of them maybe works, you know?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I honestly, like if
it's going to cost a couple $100,000 for the last 20 games of the season,
give him the minimum, bring him on in. I mean, who cares? Like, give him a chance in these last, you know, however many games the Thunder have. Like, give him a chance to, like, you know, try to play Kyle Singler's minutes. And if he's making shots and playing better defense, like, oh, great, we found him. And if he's not, then Great. You get to cheer for the Thunder during the playoffs.
I can't wait for Thunder fans to complain about Darrell Wright taking Kyle Singler's minutes like they do for everyone else.
How dare they?
Why do they just keep bringing in these old guys to take these young guys' minutes?
Young guy Kyle Singler. I don't know that he would be a better option, but there's always the grass is always greener thought when it comes to wings with the Thunder because we have no good wings.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at Dion for Prez 2028, who has to be one of you guys.
And, believe it or not, it's
and
none
he
of
wants
us.
To know since you guys talk enough about Dion.
You're
just
not reading.
Kidding.
No,
you're not. Let's start over again.
Try again.
What? Oh. Since you guys don't talk enough about Dion, just kidding, who would be the best vice president for Dion in a presidential election?
Ooh.
This is easy. This is so freaking easy.
I wonder if we have the same
one. Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan talks about Dion Waiters like he is
the best
shooting guard in the league, and we're not noticing all the great things that he's doing, and he says all these things, and you're like, really, Billy? You're not really.
What player are you actually talking
you're
about?
You're not actually, and we love Dion. We love him so much, but I would never describe Dion Waiters the way that Billy Donovan does. And I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, vice president's built to build up your.
And he looked like he's clearly a supporter of Waiters. And
very strong widow's peak.
Or is it the Chris Christie? He's like the Chris Christie of Dion Waiters, Trump. Where he's just like, I have no other choice but to support him.
That's fine, but you know what?
That's what you want.
But you know what? It's working.
That's true. All right. I was going to go somewhere like Nick Young.
Yeah, Nick Young. Steven Adams would be really good.
Of course he would.
Steven Adams is good in any of these questions. Steven Adams is a good answer.
You just, I don't know, you have to have somebody to keep him grounded a little bit, but to also just support him. So, I don't know. If you bring Nick Young in, they're just going to be like, you won't be able
That's
to. First
true.
Of all, I don't think that you'll be able to understand a word either of them are saying.
No. And you lose the older demographic.
You do. It's gone.
With Billy?
It's gone.
Billy, you bring a little bit more legitimacy.
They're all a diverse group, and they would be fantastic. They would be so good.
They would be
great. Because Billy could help him with his speeches, too. Because Billy could write the speech.
Billy should
for
just
him.
Do everything.
Because if Nick Young wrote a speech, I just want to. I do want to hear that. Nick Young wrote a speech.
Did you see Nick Young doing push-ups last night? He gave a ball to a fan and bet him see if he couldn't shoot the shot from the from the side, and he hit it. And so Nick Young was doing push-ups.
This
before
was
the
like,
game.
Oh, before the game.
Yeah,
I was like, I thought this was like a timeout or something.
Man, Nick Young sucks.
Nick Young is good.
Alex Spears and I did a podcast yesterday talking about the worst rotation players in the league. And
Nick Young sucks.
My shooting guard was Nick Young.
Which is why it's not surprising that he's married to Iggy Azalea, because she also sucks.
True.
She's horrible.
She's so bad.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter
question.
Strange
connection. All right, moving on.
Yeah, I was like, where is this going?
Jesus.
I could keep talking about it.
I know.
I will go on.
I thought that somebody was going to jump in and...
Next Twitter question comes from at @Euro_Thunder. And he says he'll be in Oklahoma City next week. He's coming from Germany. Can we suggest some good places to eat from breakfast to dinner?
Oh, we sure can.
We got all the places.
Okay, let's start for breakfast. Where does he need to get?
Waffle Champion.
Taco Bell.
Shut up.
I'm going to suggest Rudy's.
Ooh.
It's a gas station, but they have the best breakfast tacos
on the
planet.
They do.
Don't think of a normal gas station, though. It's like... It's a very nice gas station.
It's a restaurant.
RUDY's. Yeah. Rudy's.
Yeah.
Okay, Andrew, what do you say? Breakfast?
Kitchen 324 is really good.
That's it.
Yeah.
If you want just...
A good city breakfast.
You want to sit down, breakfast.
Great coffee. Great pastries.
Get yourself a cat head biscuit.
Mm.
It's an actual cat head.
Huh?
Is that real?
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's just as big as a cat head.
Whoa.
I want to go to Kitchen 324 right now.
It's so good. If you want the best, I think that's the best breakfast. But if you just want something quick or something, go to Rudy's. Rudy's if you like yourself a breakfast taco slash burrito, go get it. Go get it.
So I'm gonna come in with the Nick Collison of breakfast places. This is, if you're in Oklahoma and you're coming from Europe, you should probably go to Jimmy's Egg.
I disagree.
Like, Jimmy's Egg just is your, it's your basic American breakfast. Like, diner option.
So I would even go Waffle House if we're going that route.
No.
I'm going Waffle House. Yeah. You really want to see Oklahoma?
You know Waffle House is like worldwide, right?
Hey, if you...
Is it really?
I don't know if it's worldwide. National.
If you want to be fighting...
Worldwide. Which is my world.
You want to be fighting your bowels all day, take Jay's suggestion.
That's true. You may be sick for the rest of the day.
That's absolutely true.
But the pancakes are great.
If you got 30 seconds, go T-Belt.
Great breakfast. Waffle Champion's the other one. Walker.
Let's move on to lunch. Where should he go for lunch?
Empire Slice House, best pizza in the freaking city. And if you're going to be like downtown anyways, like I would go, I think you have to go over to the Plaza District.
Yeah, absolutely. Empire Slice for lunch.
Empire Slice House for lunch for sure. And then all, like if you want a sandwich, you got to go to the Mule.
I'd say that for dinner. Just for all the things.
For anything. Like if you want the best sandwich in the city, that's where you're going to go.
They also do a killer brunch.
They do.
On Saturday and Sunday, or Sunday, I know
Sunday,
for sure.
I would suggest going. Actually, that would be like my lunch and dinner if I were to like choose. I would.
Those are on Northwest 16th and around Indiana, in between Classen and Western. Hey, man, if they're actually going to listen to this,
put in the Goog Maps. But yeah, I think that both of those. I think you have to at least go to one of those.
Got to go to one.
What's your lunch spot, Luke?
I don't really have one. I go to Arby's.
Yeah.
Actually, for lunch, go to Brahms. For at least once.
Yeah, you got to go to Brahms.
I can't believe you're going to tell me that Jimmy's Egg gives you bowel problems, but Brahms doesn't.
I had Brahms last night. Or for lunch.
You just, I mean, like, the food is like, yeah. But you got to go to Brahms.
Ice cream.
Go get yourself a cone.
Cookies and cream, waffle cone. That's my go-to.
Go get yourself a cone. If you like ice cream, you have to go to Brahms. Have to go to Brahms.
Okay, let's go to dinner.
Hold on. Taylor, do you have a lunch spot?
Yeah, you just say T-Bell for breakfast. Time to hit up Bueno for lunch.
Oh, hey, if you want a fast food Mexican, Taco Bueno is a local, regional kind of thing. So
yeah,
I probably wouldn't choose that. But we do have great Tex-Mex food. Ted's Cafe Escondido is one that's really popular. Mama Roja.
Is it okay to say that Ted's is overrated, Ben?
It is.
Whoa,
but yes, for somebody coming from Germany, it's going to be a good option.
Best setup in the city.
It's overrated.
That's true. Everything else, not salsa, that good.
That's overrated, dude.
Let's move on to dinner. I can't even talk about this.
Wow.
We're missing so many great options, man. There are so many good restaurants right now.
Dinner is where.
If you want burger,
shine.
Tucker's is a great burger place.
Yeah.
The Garage is a great burger place. S&B is my favorite.
S&B is so good.
All of those places are tremendous.
Yeah.
Let's move on to dinner. Where are we going to dinner?
Packard's. Have you guys eaten at Packard's?
I have not.
Downtown?
Yeah.
So good. You didn't like it?
No. Yes, it's good. But if I were going to send somebody that's coming to Oklahoma, I would send them to a steak place.
Yeah,
Mahogany.
Okay.
Mahogany, the Ranch is probably the one I would send you to the most.
It's expensive. The best. These are all expensive.
Red Prime is good.
Red Prime is really good.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Mahogany, Red Prime, or the Ranch. Ranch would be your top option. Yeah. Red Rock.
Red Rock is the bomb.
Red Rock is on Lake Hefner, which is going to be very, very underwhelming for somebody from a country that has actual water that's not.
Well, we think it's beautiful.
It is, isn't it? So Red Rock's great. Any of those places we just said. I'd go to the Ranch first because it's just, and it also feels like Oklahoma. Like it's a ranch. Like it's kind of got a ranch feel, but it's great steaks.
Cowboys and steaks.
Yep. Cowboys and steaks.
That's their motto.
That's Oklahoma.
So. I would say. These are two places that are close to my house. One, Nomads, which is on May.
Do you want to? Is it Italian and pizza, right?
Yes, it's Italian and pizza, and it's classy. It's so good.
It's my favorite restaurant. Country where you could get on a train and go to Italy itself. I'm sure they're going to come and get Italian food.
Yeah. Try it. And then the other is Anaka. It's a sushi place by my house, and it's good.
Mm. So just come to Luke's house and then eat around there.
Just swing on by my house.
Arby's, Anaka.
You're more likely going to Arby's.
I'll go to Arby's.
I'm thinking Arby's.
I'll get some Mott's.
All right.
Mock sticks.
Lots of options.
Hey, all of those places, you're welcome for free advertising.
Yeah. Euro underscore thunder is coming your way.
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from at John Kiwara, who says, who could beat Adams in a fight? He's talking about superheroes because no mortal man can hurt him.
True.
Luke, you're a superhero expert.
Yes.
Juggernaut?
I'm going to say I don't have a good answer.
Great.
There's
that's
so
awesome.
There's so many to choose
okay,
from.
Okay, is there any NBA player that like a fight, an actual fight starts on
Cousins,
the court?
Cousins, man.
And you're like, a little bit afraid that Steven Adams is going to get beat up.
Randolph.
I'm not scared of Z-Bo, man.
Z-Bo's too old now.
Sad.
Too small.
Sad dude. What about like a Tyson Chandler? I know the dude is, he seems like a pretty good guy from some of the things I read or heard, but he is also from Compton.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
it's
a little offensive, Jay.
That's not offensive. I mean, it's not like he's some, like Matt Barnes who grew up in, Santa Clara or whatever.
I'm joking. Yeah, I think that's, it would have to be a massive person.
I think Boogie would have swung when he was trying to and just hit him in the back of the head, Steven Adams would be dead.
I think he would have been knocked out.
What if he died?
Yeah. Then I would definitely say Boogie could beat Steven Adams in a fight.
Do they
if he killed Steven Adams with
do
one
they
punch?
Boogie out of the league.
Yes. Okay. He goes to jail.
What a crazy hypothetical.
He's gone.
Yeah, he goes to jail.
He's getting so much money in China. He's doing like wrestling events in China. He's doing basketball.
Here's who could beat him. Boban. Boban just got to slap him one time with that massive hand. Just bow.
Yeah, and what's Steven going to do to Boban?
He's too lovable.
The thing about
his hands are just too big.
What you have to talk about in a fight with Steven Adams is the fact that, like, if he's just sitting there getting punched by somebody, yes. But if Steven is actually, and what he doesn't do is he never retaliates. Like, he's never come close to being like,
that's one of his NBA skills.
He doesn't get back in their face. He just lets it happen and then moves away.
Right.
That's what's crazy is the Cousins one got close. Steven came back at him. Durant was coming at him.
Yeah.
Like, that one got close. I was like, this is going to happen.
This is cool. Let's see what happens.
But I bet Steven can throw down, dude. You're not one of like 15 siblings.
Yeah,
in New Zealand, playing rugby most of your life and not be able to at least throw down.
Maybe he doesn't ever retaliate because he's really bad at fighting.
Yeah, he just started like slapping.
Honestly, that's his goal. Like, if you're watching him,
100%.
Like, he's constantly like pulling guys down with him as he falls to the ground. Like, he's just trying to get people frazzled.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's the reason you had Kendrick Perkins with Steven Adams. Like, he gave him, he has 17 times the ability.
Yeah.
And he's given him the attitude.
And he's pinching people.
Just pinching and pulling.
Speaking of, I don't know if y'all talked about it and I didn't miss it, but maybe my favorite Thunder moment of the season is when Kendrick Perkins fouled Russ intentionally and then grabbed him and hugged him and then kissed him on the head.
Kissed him on the head.
I was like, oh, man.
And then they played a slow-mo replay of it like four times after that.
I also, whenever Kendrick Perkins on the court, I was like, who is that guy? He is so big. I thought it was the Greek Freak. You remember the Greek Freak or the Greek Shaq? Sorry. Freak, yeah.
He's not that fat.
No, I know. But I was like, did the Pelicans get so desperate they signed the baby Shaq?
Baby Shaq. Shalabanopoulos? I think that's how you say it.
Shalabanopoulos?
All right, let's move on to our next Twitter question. It comes from @G_Diddy, who wants to know which fellow podcast member would you punch in the face if God commanded you to do so in a dream?
Wait.
I think there's only one answer to this question, to be honest.
Surely it's Taylor, right?
It's Taylor punching me in the face because God commands him to in a dream.
I don't want to hear about your dreams. Please don't ever tell me about your dreams.
It would be. It definitely would be Andrew. Not because I would want to, but yes, God would command me to punch Andrew in the face in a dream.
That's right. He's a just God.
He is a just. And I will bring swift justice.
Hey, Taylor. Remember that time that Andrew told you he don't want to hear about your dreams? Guess what I want you to do?
It's time to get him now, boy.
I don't know why God sounds like either one of the two voices. Yeah.
Let's get him.
Oh, sweet mercy.
I officially stopped going to church now because of you guys. If that's what God sounds like.
All right. Let's move on to our last Twitter question, which is going to be our top five power ranking of the week, which is, it's so many rankings.
It's not even close it's to like five. Top, I mean, it is close.
It's like top 12 and 11. Down to the podcast of power rankings. He wants, we're going to talk about
it's like.
It's that's exactly what it is.
It is.
From at D underscore Ray, who wants to know, or he says that standings are still tight in both conferences. What are the realistic final standings that would create the most entertaining first round?
So we wanted to rank kind of the who we believe are the top eight teams in each conference, Eastern or Western Conference. And there's a ranking that obviously by record, but some of those teams could fluctuate a little bit. I think there's teams in the East that are a little better than some of the ones that are in the playoffs right now. So how do y'all want to do this?
Let's talk the East first.
Yeah.
So who are the – we'll talk the locks, and then we'll talk the bubble teams, and then who do you think gets in. So Cavs, Raptors, Celtics, Heat, Hawks are locks for me.
For sure. I agree.
I think the Hawks are kind of iffy, but I think they make it.
Yeah.
With the Hornets, Pacers, Pistons, and then I really think it's just like the Bulls and Wizards. Like, I just think those are the only other two teams.
And the Wizards have been playing a lot better recently.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
the addition of more – it's Markieff, right? Markieff is yeah. a big deal for them. They're 7-3 in their last 10, 29-30. They have the pieces to be way better.
Yeah, their schedule has been soft, and the teams that they have played have had guys injured. Like yeah. it's been
well. At least, sorry, they've at least won. They've been losing yeah. games like that all season.
Yes,
right. They've yeah. been awful most of the season.
Yeah. So, who do we think get the 6, 7, and 8? Man, it's hard for me to actually believe that the Bulls miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
But with all their injuries, it could happen.
And out of all three of those teams, like the Hornets seemingly, or at least are winning games here recently, the Pacers, yeah. I just think the Pacers, and maybe it's just because they somehow beat the Thunder, like I think they just will grid out to that 8 or 7 seed.
Yeah.
I like the Pistons. I like the moves they made at the trade deadline. Doesn't seem like they've paid off immediately, but
yeah.
Gosh,
Taylor,
I don't know.
Taylor and I currently have a bet on the Pistons and Pacers with who's going to have the best record at the end of the season. They currently have the same record.
So, do you think the Wizards can jump any of them?
I don't think the Wizards are going to. I don't think the Wizards are going to make the playoffs.
I would like to see the Bulls get into the 8 seed and then get everyone healthy going into the first round and having a great first round Bulls versus Cavs.
Yeah,
it'd be fantastic.
That'd be about their only option for entertaining basketball yes. in the first round yes. in the East.
Yes.
Man, the Wizards, Cavs. I don't know. I mean, I think that could be fun.
I disagree.
Yeah. Be fun for the Cavs.
Be fun for the Cavs to beat the Zards.
So the first round best option would be the Bulls, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think the Bulls squeak in, and I don't know. Like, it's really hard for me to believe. I know the Hornets have been good, but it's really hard for me to believe in them. Like, I could see them
losing 10 in a row and dropping out. Yeah,
losing. So I guess Pistons, Pacers, Bulls is who I'm picking to be the 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
So what would be your series then? So the Cavs would play the Bulls, Raptors would play the Pacers?
Probably the Pistons.
So you think the Pistons will finish in the 7 seed?
Yeah.
And then the Celtics, Pacers. Well, that'd be kind of
crappy.
And then the Heat Hawks are pretty much locked into that 4-5.
Yeah, that's
what's
just
the body banging in that game?
Doesn't sound great.
Celtics. What, the body banging or the series?
The banging and neither. The series.
The banging and the series.
Who do you guys think?
I don't think the Bulls get in.
I think the Bulls get in. I think they start bringing. I think Dunleavy's back now, and then they start bringing back in their.
But Jimmy Butler's still out for a couple weeks, isn't he?
Yeah, but they're going to hang in there. Derrick Rose is back. Dunleavy's there. They'll hang in
Derrick
there.
Derrick Rose is back
and
for
then,
how long?
Yeah, I don't know.
At least a game.
At least one more game.
Hornets fall out. Wizards make it in.
Oh, Zards.
I say no. Hornets stay. Pistons stay. Pacers fall out. Bulls are in.
Whoa.
But that has to do with our bet.
Yeah. And I win?
No, I win. I have Pistons. You have Pacers.
You need to clarify your bet.
No, I have the Pistons.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm dead serious.
Huh, that's really weird.
Moving on to the Western.
It's really weird you don't know that.
The Western Conference.
Okay, so Warriors, Spurs, Thunder, Clippers are really the only like true locks that we have. And then you have the Grizzlies, Blazers, Mavs, Rockets, and Jazz. I don't think the Kings have a chance. The Pelicans don't either.
I just kept going. It's a really bad Western Conference.
It's not great.
It's so weird.
I think the Jazz have a better shot at the 8 seed than the Rockets.
Yes.
I at least want that.
What about the Mavs?
Yeah, the Mavs will be fine.
I think they'll stay in the play. I think they'll stay 7 or 8.
I think
someone might jump them, but they'll stay in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the Jazz jump the Rockets.
Yep.
And then everybody else stays. Man, the freaking Trailblazers, Jay.
What's up with that? Please read what you wrote on there.
I'm not reading it.
Okay, I'll read it. What's up, dudes? No NBA players. You all are whack AF.
Well,
as we, fans.
whack as fans.
We are. Yeah, I mean, it's been amazing what they've done. I didn't think they'd win 30 games. So, congratulations, Jay.
Explain why Jay would write that. We have a bet.
Yeah, so at the beginning of the season, our bold predictions. What's funny is, Andrew and Taylor thought the Trailblazers would be awful, and I just thought they would be not as awful. I was like, they'll win 33 games.
Yeah.
And you all thought they wouldn't even get to 30 or something like that, they wouldn't even get to 32. And so we bet on it anyway, just for fun. And ended up being that the Blazers are really good. Terry Stotts is doing a great job, man.
Dude,
Damian Lillard is so mad.
Coach of the year, man.
He's got to be. CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard are so good together.
Really good.
And that is the only reason that they are this good.
So but they're 33-28. They've won the 9 out of the last 10 games. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them even move up in the 5 seed.
Yeah.
Just because the Grizzlies are so blah to me.
Yeah.
Lance.
See, this is how little I paid attention to him. Is he even playing for them?
Yeah, he plays. He has to. They have nobody else.
Is he any good?
No, he's terrible. He sucks. I love that gif, though, of him dribbling and falling down and it going through somebody's legs accidentally and then him picking back up and then just blowing the layup.
I love speaking of Lance Stephenson, so they traded Jeff Green to the Clippers. I love that people think Jeff Green could be the answer for the Clippers, too.
It's an ongoing NBA joke. That's just
every
time. Keeps going around.
Wow, it's amazing. It's great.
Started with the Thunder.
Now to it. Sorry, didn't want to.
Let's move on to our say what stat of the week.
Everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we should move on or that?
No.
Would you be, how surprised are you, just to finish that before we do the say what, how surprised would you be if the Rockets don't make the playoffs?
Not surprised. They're so bad.
They've been so sucky.
But you look at the beginning of the season, you're like, the Rockets go from the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Without knowing anything,
Lawson,
I would have said, wow, James Harden blew out his knee, right?
Yeah.
That's what I would have said.
Kardashian curse.
He didn't blow out his knee.
He's just a blow hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, you freaking blow hards.
Say what stat of the week.
Say what time. Stat of the week.
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
What?
I can't read lips, Jay.
Say what?
Stat of the week.
My say what stat of the week is that Josh Smith has more touches per chance than Anthony Davis this season.
What?
Yeah, how about that? And he is sucky.
I didn't even think he was playing enough to do that.
Yeah, he is.
Wow.
So that's I could not believe it when I saw it. I just laughed out loud because I was looking at his offensive stats and then I was like, how much is he touching the ball? And it's like, wow, he's like when he's on the court, he's touching the ball quite a bit and more than Anthony Davis. And I was just skipping around because I was so happy about that. It's so funny.
That's terrible. Mine is the Greek Freak's stat line the other night was 18, 16, 11, 4, and 2. And I just brought this up because Andrew calls him overrated all the time.
Hey, I already conceded that.
Yeah, he conceded that 3 months ago.
Yeah, come on, dude.
I don't let things
go. That was against the Rockets.
It's against the Rockets.
I watched that game. Man, the Rockets' defense is so bad.
Yeah.
They let the Bucks score on them at will. I think Chris Middleton had 30-something points on 11 shots.
Yeah, on 10 shots. He went to the line 15 times, made them all.
Yeah.
He had 5 steals. Even Dwight had a good game. He was 30-13.
Yeah.
I mean, no blocks, but come on. Even when all their starters have good games, they can't win.
It's so entertaining for me to watch them lose.
It's so great. For me, this is just because it was so surprising. It came from last night. I was going to talk about Draymond's line. Like, that line for the Thunder game is just dumb. 2 points,
yeah.
14 rebounds, 14 assists, 6 steals. It's unbelievable. And five blocks.
Yeah.
Like, that's an unbelievable stat line. But I wanted to say this just because it doesn't make any sense, and I hate the Lakers so much. But D'Angelo Russell, 39 points last night.
Yeah, dude.
Ended up shooting 8 of 12 from the three-point line, 14 of 21 from the field.
He's good.
6 rebounds and 3 assists. And, you know, they make some – they still don't make any sense. And any – I don't understand – and you talked a little bit with Jonathan Tarks on Monday. The Lakers thing just doesn't make sense to me. Like, unless you're going to say that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook had a secret conversation where they just want to go to L.A.,
yeah.
It makes no sense to me. That team is just not well run right now.
They've been disastrous.
Unless something changes, I just don't think it makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sense. And it would just have to be like, I want to be a Laker.
I want to be in L.A.
And that really just doesn't. It certainly, to me, doesn't seem like a Kevin Durant thing. Like, it's hard to really know if that's a Russell Westbrook thing or not.
True.
But I think if KD stays, I just don't think that Russ leaves. So it just doesn't seem. I would be shocked. Shocked. And then I'd be a Lakers fan. I'd say, see you guys later.
I think everyone stays.
Okay. Let's. Are you guys
great.
Myth, and are you guys peeved?
Myth.
Myth.
Myth. Miffed and peeved.
Jay, I know you're myth.
I already talked about it. It just is poor timing. I don't know. I don't think I need to start. I guess when I start booking flights, like, I need to start looking at the Thunder schedule and be like, but it for me, come on, just step your Wi-Fi game up. We pay so much for plane tickets. Step your Wi-Fi game up.
Yep. Thanks for listening to our podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTDpodcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review, and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.